Bonnie Gani, everyone. This is Professor Almond Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, Africana Studies Department, former city council person for the city of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees and Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. And we want to welcome you here to the Compton's Corner, along with co-host Joe Hembrick, if he chimes in. You know, we're looking forward to him to join us later. But at the same time, we're going to move on. And I want to thank Brother Rasha Key of Muskani for his brilliant work in presenting us his platform every week, going on 2 years of nothing but Blackness and Black consciousness, and able to present round tables of discussions of critical issues that we face as a people. And at the same time, we seek solutions to the issues that we face. And we want to recognize our achievements as a people and our accomplishments in the struggle for social justice for African American people on this planet. So we thank Brother Rasha Key for his long time inventive and creative role model of excellence with regards to the CNN show, the Community Education Network. It's been a jewel of a megaphone for our interests as Black people. We want to thank him for that. Then tonight is a very challenging discussion because this is what we call Black History Month, Part 2, the month of March. The month of March is International Women Recognition, and some say Women's Month. But in 1989 and 90, at Cal State Long Beach, we decided after February, Black History Month, that we was going to have Black History Month 2, with the focus would be on the Black woman. And you say, well, why? You know, why can't it be in the same vein? Because Black women hold a special role in our struggle, not only as for social justice, but in our personal lives. The role they play in male-female relationships, the role they play in just being our better our half that needs recognition for their sustaining the struggle and being right there. The Betty Shabazzes, the Loretta Scott Kings, Dorothy Dandridge, just the role of women in the struggle, because we have a history of seeing Black women in distorted ways that the media portrays them as white women, just with Black skin. And we have a tendency as men to treat our women that way, especially those of us that see ourselves as white men in Black skin, as Fanon would say. So we tend to be just as sexist, suppressive, and dismissive of the woman role in the struggle and in their total contribution to us as a people. I mean, I have to take personal homage and respect, because I know I had to make a transformation. The more conscious I became, the more ethical I became toward Black women. And you know, so the consciousness, the contrast is when we say Black Women's Month, we're talking about from a Black perspective, an Afrocentric perspective. We're not talking about from just Europeans giving Black women awards or giving black men awards and things of this nature. We're talking about from our cultural standards and cultural balance and focus of recognition and appreciation for the things they contribute to our Blackness, our Africanness. And you say, well, why? What was that about? Well, a lot of times Black people always, today they got almost in denial of Blackness. It's almost bad to even say you Black. You got some Black people talking about they are mixed, or a half and half, or just making up different identities when it comes down to racial identity or ethnic identity dealing with we have one brother say, "I'm biracial." The hell is biracial? You understand? It's a question of, "I'm bisexual." No, you're gay. You're homosexual. By half and half. And so this is the same thing. We have to look at, I mean, we don't have to, but we're suggesting from a scholarship standpoint, we want to see things from a Black perspective, to the point where most Black commentators and discussers, every time they mention Black, they mention brown. Well, we need to work with the Black and brown people, people of color, but, that's okay. You want to be general and things of this nature. And then, but they had a sitcom out called Blackish. What is Blackish? Like it's a demeaning thing. You're acting too Black. Are Chinese acting too Chinese if they eat shrimp fried rice and chow mein and all that? I mean, where's the point that we get to the point where we have to be inclusive? But those groups never include us. This program, Conscious Corner, folks, just on blackness, and Black people, and a racial dynamic, as Roger E. has written. The hierarchy of the racial dynamic. I mean, what do you mean? It's very important that we see that we're not being selfish. We're just doing what others do. And it's mandatory that we look out for our interests and our concern as Black people. And, we take the term Black because we know we're human beings. We're a full human being. But the racial dynamic comes not how we see it, but how Europeans have institutionalized it globally, as Dr. Francis Prince said, for people to be marginalized and measured by their skin color. That's what apartheid means, living apart based on color. That's what Zionism means, that you can only be a European Jewish person in government. And that's what Euro-American racism means when it comes down to race. Now, Nikki Haley jumps up and say, she's running for president for 2023. America is a great country and it's not a racist country. Even though on some of her applications she put down she was white, but she says she's Native American or something else and things of this nature. When it's convenient, she got money for that, for the school or something. But at the same time, she's wanting to feed these Caucasians red meat when it comes down to agreeing with them that critical race theory should be implemented, and that no one should replace white power and white institutions that corrupts them. So when we talk about the Black woman in that role of being not only suffering because of sexism and the discrimination against women, but also she suffers because she's a Black woman from a racial perspective. So we look at the achievement, and let's just take the concern of water. Most people don't know that water is really a gender-based resource for the good. Women deal with water. When you're born, you're in water in the woman's stomach. And then when you come out, the first thing they do is wash you with water. And then they want to give you water. You have to drink water. Women do the cleaning. They are our first nurses. They deal with our hygiene. Water plays a central role with the woman, more so than the man, because she deals with the cleaning and the nurturing of the baby, because she has to breastfeed, and breasts are made for babies. That's what breasts are for. Not boyfriends and not sexual objects, but for the feed babies. That's why you women have breasts. So we go on to this historical dynamic of recognizing the achievements, the excellence, and the beauty and the glory of Black men's partner. And see, as I was saying, I had to make transformation as an African man, from a Negro man or street hustler or hip hop hustler or whatever, to a Black conscious person. And the more conscious you become, the more you study. And the more you study, you read about Mary McLeod Bethune, who started a college in Daytona, Florida. You understand? And it's Bethune-Cookman now, but at the same time, the students had to struggle to get them to refurbish the school and deal with its infrastructure. Just recently, three over 300 some students and alumni have forced the force and put pressure the school. The president resigned, so the interim president has pledged $10 million to fix up this historical college, independent Black college, with regards to its infrastructure and its critical needs. Those are very important dynamics from the standpoint of understanding of Black women and their role in our struggle. So we honor the Black women for weathering the storm. They carry a baby for 9 months. Often they can't sleep on their side. They have to sleep on their back when they're pregnant. Then they, when the baby is born, they make sure the baby eat first before they eat. Make sure the baby is comfortable. These mothers are amazing. These women are amazing as mothers. They were so great and amazing as mothers to Black children. In the Holocaust of enslavement, the European forced them to nurture their children. They called them nannies, mammies, and nammies, and things of that nature. Because that's because of the dynamic and the love that a Black woman has naturally. Now, I'm not saying Asian Chinese don't do the same thing. Look, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about Black people. What we see Black people do. So we thank them for their contributions, and we look forward. So anyway, in 1989, 90, we started Black Women's Month Focus 2 for a number of reasons. First one reason is we recognize the achievements and the struggle of the Black woman, not only with society, but with Black men. Their struggle with Black men to be treated with justice, respect, and honor as an equal partner. We used to say in the movement, if you really want to know how a society measures up with regards to its democracy and its balance of treatment of all humans, see how they treat the women. All you have to do is see how they treat women. See how they see women. You as a man driving down the street and you see some women walking, selling their bodies, do you see them as sisters that are forced into that dynamic? Like Black men say, hey, the reason I sold dope and I had to hustle is because, the man didn't leave me nothing else to do. That's what they say in the Superfly. You understand? But no, there are always other choices. But the point is that you see these sisters doing that. Do you see them as your sister? Do you see them as somebody else's sister, daughter, some mother's daughter, and see and hope that they will get into a situation where they didn't have to do that, or they didn't say that was more lucrative for them to do, for whatever reason. They're risking their lives whenever they participate in that act with a stranger, one way or the other. Second, we see them as the nurturers and the educators of our children. They're the ones that teach them to walk, to talk, to teach them basic hygiene. You understand? And making ways out of no way. You got women who have five, six children, maybe by different daddies, maybe by the same guy, by themselves, learning how to stretch dollars to get through the month until they get their other supplemental help from the government or until someone else come and help them financially. But they're able to make do with what they have. That is some serious calculus. That is some serious trigonometry. That is some serious algebra to stretch dollars to last for a whole month or until you get your next income. And so those are the dynamics that you would look at. We look at the role of women in Dzinga, Hatshepsut Sutton, ancient history. They try to talk about the woman king, a dynamic of the Dahomey women that fought off the Holocaust in the Holocaust of enslavement. We talk about Queen of Sheba. We talk about some people claim Cleopatra, who some it's debatable, but at the same time they say that she was also of African descent. We talk about ancient women. We talk about like I said, Madiba is Queen of Sheba, as Jay Rogers pointed out in his book, 100 Great People of Color, in Volume 1 and 2. And then we talk about just the great struggles that Black women has gone through. So this is what Black Women Month 2 is about. It's about focusing on Black women, Black girls as models of excellence and models of achievement and models of front line, like the Breonna Taylor situation in Kentucky, and her mother continued to struggle. Now the Department of Justice have said, "You was right. You was right, Miss Taylor. You was right, Black people, to demonstrate that Kentucky Louisville Police Department is corrupt. It forced it, it kicked down doors they didn't have to, and stopped Black people they didn't have to, without reason, just making up reason. They used excessive force in the jail, outside the jail." And they're doing a comprehensive investigation for reform, and at the same time made it public that they have to make come on the federal decree for the purposes of being monitored for their behavior. But that came through Black women that struggle. Even when you look into Michael Brown and Ferguson, that's where a lot of people say Black Lives Matter got started, but at the same time, it was women that took on the lead. As a matter of fact, the first leaders of Black Lives Matter were dealing with some other issues, but they infused Black Lives Matters from the standpoint of police abuse. That was an added a component of Black Lives Matter. But at the same time, we look at that the leadership, and even one of the current Congress people, Miss Bailey, I think her name is, came out of the Ferguson movement. And that's a good thing. We look at in Texas, and we look at the Black women that's in Congress, and it's amazing how they have moved up into the political arena and taken hard line. Barbara Lee is running for the United States Senator in California. She's the only sister. They voted against the Bush policy to attack Iraq under the auspices that it had weapons of mass destruction. She's the only one that's voted no, that she shouldn't go. And so we honor her for that. We honor her for being steadfast and also being one of the co-hosts of the George Floyd police reform bill. So we look at these Black women, and do you see them as Black women, or do you see them just as sexual objects, as just your mama or just your grandmama, or do you see them from the separate? Now, look at Tennessee. No, yeah, we'll go with Tennessee. with regards to the struggle that they're having in many ways. But let me just go with Newark, New Jersey first. In Newark, New Jersey, they're building monuments to represent Harriet Tubman. And they have a square in Newark, New Jersey called Harriet Tubman Square. But the park that they're putting the new monument in, she's her monument is taking the place of Christopher Columbus, who was lost when he found ran into America. He was looking for India, and that's where the term West Indies come from. But the point is that it's a beautiful thing that this struggle of recognition of the role of Harriet Tubman, who when she got her freedom, right, the first time in her book she says, I was so happy to be up north and free, but then I got sad because I started thinking about the people that I left and that are still there, and I vowed to go back and help lead them, because she escaped from slavery. She wasn't a free person that decided they was going to help. She became one of the leading avenues in it. But that means that freedom is not just for yourself. It's inclusive. It's inclusive. Martin Luther King didn't want civil rights for himself. He wanted it for all Black people. And she wanted all Black people to be free. That's a hell of a mentality to risk your life for someone else. And some people that may not never appreciate it, and some people that don't understand it, and not be explained from a Black perspective of how we see it. And then, and even in Pomona, California, they're building a monument at a park and a statue and replica of Harriet Tubman. You understand? Now, some people argue she should be on the $20 bill, and Trump them canceled it, but Biden hadn't reinstated it either. But the point is that that's a whole new different argument with the U.S. Mint. But the point is that these are great women. And see, when we recognize Black womanhood, we are also encouraging other Black women to use them as models to emulate. I'm gonna say that again now. We want our daughters, our sisters, to develop a consciousness. It's hard. It's hard because of the subliminal seduction and reward for getting white, being white, and acting white. So you look at Leslie Sykes, and you say, "Oh, it's beautiful. She's Channel 7 News for so many years, and her language, she's so great and articulate because she can speak English so well and things of that nature." Yes, that's true. You understand? And that's what Ernie Smith was talking about when he talked about Ebonics. You understand? The majority, many of us are punished because we don't talk like Leslie Sykes, Rachel Brown, many of the male commentators also. They're professional speakers, and that's why they speak the English so well. And that's their job. Now, when they go home, they may get down, you understand? May pull up a bowl of grits, a bowl of pinto beans and rice and cornbread and say, "Damn. Oh, that was rough up there, in white land." You understand? We don't know, but we still understand that the reason they talk the way they do is because they went to school to learn to articulate, read fast, and talk fast. It's not easy, and it became a skill. And they outskilled the white people to get the job and to maintain it. So we look at it from an Afrocentric perspective. Not from the standpoint of white people saying, "This is your model, this is your standard for you to be. You can't be yourself. You understand? You can't wear naturals, you can't wear dashikis to work, you gotta wear showing your cleavage, showing your shoulders, paint your lips red like a red light. People can see your lips 100 yards away. You got so much makeup on because they want you to look sexy in your commentary. and in your perspective, and they want you to talk white and act white, come to cocktail parties and socialize and be the only flea and milk of, around them. And so they could say that there's diversity. We got two black people here, and they're so great. I mean, we look at that. But anyway, getting back to the black woman. So we need a revolutionary consciousness as men to see our women, one, as our goddesses and our partners, those that have suffered with us and for us, those that have achieved excellence, models of excellence, and those that must be included as equal partners in the struggle for social justice. Coretta Scott King was right there with Martin marching. The United Negro, National Negro Women Association, was right with Martin and right with the struggle. Betty Shabazz was with Malcolm. We can go on. With the women in the Panthers, the women in the Organization Us, women in and most BSUs were ran by women on the colleges. And the role of many of the sororities is, that they play with regards to scholarships and other forms of recognition of African women. We have this struggle. So it's a conscientious effort to see women. And like you said, we have to choose to do that. Because sometimes we do things unconsciously. As Kwame Ture said, sometimes, as black as he is, he used to be Stokely Carmichael, he said he'll find himself singing at McDonald's or driving down the street, just humming the melody, because it is so inundated with white-itis in our subconscious. So you have to almost take a mental cleansing to a certain degree to become hardcore. And we don't expect people to do that, but we expect for you to be mindful, and when you can, and when you do choose to be African, that you not only be African in just in words like I'm from Africa and I'm African American and all that, but in values. So we look at the religion, Maat. We look at spirit of values that of Operation Unity, unity with diversity, unity without uniformity. We look at principles of cooperation. We look at treating each other with the highest level of excellence, and it's not easy. We have to train our kids to see each other that way, that you don't fight each other, you don't argue with each other, you work together on projects. And you try to get in a position where you can make a contribution to the movement. We're behind enemy lines, whether you like it or not. As we always say on Conscious Corner, you may not be at war, but you're definitely in a war. So your consciousness is very important, but it does not do if you're the only one conscious. You have to. Sometimes where you have power, and you usually have power over your home and over your family, you have to have standards. And that's when we get into male-female relationship. Why black men are not marrying black women. Whatever, and vice versa. Some black women are not marrying black men. And we must make a cultural and political standpoint. You don't have no problem with Trump saying that we need to get more immigration from European countries, and so we can have more white people. But we can't say we need to get more immigration from Africa, and we need to have marriage as a goal and an objective. It used to be. That's one thing that a man grew up with. You're not a man if you're not married. You grow up and raise kids, and you take care of your family. That was a goal. That was a standard. Now it ain't. And so you have an enormous amount of women looking for good men. Not a good man is not just one who's college educated and got a good, decent job. He could be a plumber. He could be an electrician. He could be a fireman. He could be a policeman. As long as he's conscious of who she is and respect her space and her right to have input if she chooses. Now, there's some women that accept the role of being a subordinate. That's the way they were trained. They watched their mothers, they watched this, and their mothers were forced to live that type of life because of racism and because of sexism and because, you know, of domestic violence. So, you know, they train their kids, you know, daughters, how to survive as subordinates. But we have to come out of that. I mean, there's no reason for, you know, men and women to be fighting, arguing with each other over nothing. Ain't nothing on this planet more important than our relationship. You understand, of communications and ethics and values. So that's why we look at Black Women's Month as a special month. Month of those that weathered the storms, that dealt with the earthquakes of life and the ups and downs. Those that made ways out of no way, and those that are the mothers of civilization, you know, and that's very important. So Black History Month too, woman focus is as critical as Black History Month one, general focus. So we thank all the women, especially Black women, all the Black women that know they're Black women, that know who they are, where they are. We're thankful for the Frances Cress Welsings, and we're thankful for all those other women that have contributed to our consciousness, our awareness, and you know, that you know, every man on this earth has had a woman in their life, or they wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for a woman. Your father did not birth you. It was a woman. And even if you're a Christian, Jew, Catholic, or Muslim, your mother was a woman. And so we recognize it. And if your religion forbids them, separates them, oppresses them, you need to begin to look at it, especially if it marginalizes them to just have babies and do what you say. So that's why we try to get a focus on the liberational activities of the women, the growth and the strength of women, and women that, as I said, did their role in our struggle. Because most of the time, people focus on the men only and focus on what the system say we need to focus on, organizations. But there are some great women, and we need to focus on them. Just like Carter Woodson said, we need to focus on our own history. We need to also be inclusive with regards to our women and our children from that standpoint. So, do we have any questions? We our discussions. Mashinda, how you feeling? You there?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. How about yourself?
I'm great, brother. It's always a pleasure, treasured pleasure to hear your voice, brother. Because I know you're dealing with it in Louisiana, and they got a lot of issues in Louisiana. But go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I appreciate your commentary. You know, very relevant, very pertinent. You know, the struggle continues. You know, speaking of Black history, I was watching, the Oscars the other night. And you know, I'm a type for a lot of people, so I don't watch that stuff. Some days I don't watch it, but I noticed that Black woman won the Oscar for the second time, you know, in history. That Ruth E. Carter, and she won it for Black Panther and Wakanda Forever. But basically, what's interesting is, you know, she's contributed to over 60 films and been a part of like Spike Lee's Malcolm X and Amistad, and she was nominated for those as well 4 times. You know, she won twice, but you know, a lot of people don't know about her, but she's a graduate out of Hampton University, and she's about 60 something years old, and you know, a lot of people don't know her, but dig in a little bit, you know, her inspiration comes from Africa. She does a lot of research and tries to depict you know, something positive out of the continent of Africa, and so I'd like to salute her and in her accomplishments. And she had mentioned when she was speaking that she lost her mom. Her mom was 101, passed about a week before the Oscars. And but like I say, she contributes to, although she's in the industry, anything can be negative. You can talk about any industry where there's negative, but she's using the platform to, like I say, to bring out something positive for Black people, across the continent and across the diaspora, as far as and giving it recognition and opening doors to other costume designers and things like that, because she talks about, the doggone of Mali, the different history, figures in history that, where she did her research, just various tribes and different things, and to bring it to light, to bring it to because, coming up, we saw anything Black on TV, that was big. We said, oh, something's Black on TV, we'd watch it, but, and we were very proud of that, but this is, again, although she's in the costume design, very creative. I just like I say, give her a shout out. And as far as the Black History Month continues, and you were speaking on, Black women and society and how men, it's a lot of work to be done. And, I'm constantly in the struggle, dealing with Black men and women every day in my line of work. Of course, there's white folks there, a whole lot of them, but there's a lot of Blacks, and therefore, trying to get that self-esteem factor up. Everybody's, oh, it starts at home, it starts at with the family, but a lot of times people they use that, and we know it starts at home. But at the end of the day, everybody has a story, and everybody is not as privileged or as not as successful or as other people due to the fact that, in their household there may be things going on. So I don't, I, you know, when they say, oh, it starts at home, yeah, it starts at home. But at the end of the day, when people walk it, when a lot, when the young women and men walk into my life where I work at in particular, or not just at my job, but in my life, period. If in my, if they come down my path, I try to, instill, some of the things that you've been talking about, trying to uplift, trying to, and the young ladies, matter of fact, this morning, I was talking, well, last night actually, and this morning, I was talking to one of the young relatives. A young man has a girlfriend, and his mom is saying to the girlfriend, hey, you got to go back to school. So I'm like, wait a minute, you got to go back to school? Well, how old are you? Well, you seven, she's 17 years old, she's a high school student. Well, mama say I got to watch the kids, so it's kind of like, what do you mean your mother said you got to watch the kids? You know, how are you going to become something in life if you're not going to school or doing something with yourself? So anyway, the mother of the boyfriend is actually giving her a lot of encouragement and trying to uplift her self-esteem and let her know that she can do something. And of course the mom, I could say the mom's in violation of, keeping her kid at home, but I don't know, everybody has their own struggle. So that needs to be a little more research before I draw a conclusion on what's happening in that household with the mother and the daughter relationship. There's just no dad in the picture. And so like I say, I'm all for upliftment of Black women. I've always been a proponent of Black women myself. I've always my mothers and sisters and people and women in my life, I've always tried to show the utmost respect. And girlfriends, and of course I have a wife, and she can be a tough customer sometimes, but at the end of the day, I try to show love and respect to all of them, and I salute all of them, so that's all I really have to say. I think you said a whole lot tonight, and I appreciate it.
Well, I want to say, Machina, thank you for your commentation, especially the one recognizing the sister, the one, the two options as models of excellence and possibilities. And so that's a good thing. And at the same time, we hope that the sister that's dealing with the child or dealing with the mother, keeping the home and things of this nature, find a way to make it and to learn either online or just read and study and practice various skills so she can take care of herself. But thanks for that good commentary. But sister making it happen.
Yes, greetings.
Greetings
What's up,
to you.
everyone? How
Good to
y'all
hear
doing?
your voice. Your voice brings peace. We enjoy hearing your voice. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm just really excited to be on the call this evening. I've been kind of out of touch for a minute, but yes, it's great to Black Women's History Month, really important topic for me. And I just think that it's important for us as a family to continue to grow and elevate together so that these divisive mechanisms that are being attempted to be used against us, we can acknowledge them and not fall victim to them, because definitely strategic moves to separate us from each other and to keep us at different spaces. So I think it's critical that brothers and sisters grow and continue to elevate themselves so they can be better equipped to deal with what's going on in our community. We need mothers and fathers to be aware. We need males and females, brothers and sisters to be ready to pour into each other, into the community, because I mean, all we have is each other, and it's hostile. I was talking to some young ladies today in middle school, helping them to recognize the hostility that they deal with sitting in a school where they may be one or two in a classroom. That's a hostile environment for them. They can't even be them their true selves. I have to find ways to get the little sisters together so I can encourage them and reinforce them that, they are where they belong and that they are meant to be here and they have gifts in them to give out and to grow. So I just think we just need to continue to press forward. On the shoulders of our ancestors, we have powerful women. You mentioned Harriet Tubman. I was thinking about Sojourner Truth. I remember being in Harlem. There's a statue of her in Harlem. We have to uplift these ancestors and these elders and continue to call on them, share with them, even the technology. A lot of the elders need support from the young people to help them to make this transition into this digital world. And so we have to help each other. And so that's what I wanted to share with the family today. Thankful for the recognition and continue growing. Beautiful image behind you, Brother Rasaki. I love that picture behind you. And yeah, keep it going, family.
Well, we want to thank you, sis, for making it happen and all your contributions to uplift the young girls and uplift everyone with your focus on economic literacy and your focus on health and well-being of the people. I mean, you as we say, many of our women are multi-geniuses. They have to have, and being a wife and being a mother and being educated. I mean, you have achieved a lot and you're a role model for women to follow. And we really appreciate you. Is that Linda on?
Oh, yes, it's Linda.
Hearing
I'm here.
your voice brings peace, Linda. Do you have any commentary?
Not really, because I like everything that was said, and I want to start out with Rashiki, his background. I love it, I'm telling you. I don't know where you got that from, but I'm gonna have to get that picture. And then all the comments, it was what you were saying, Professor Amara. I'm just like, wow. And I'm honored, and I learned, and of course, I write notes with everything. And I was trying to keep up with everything you were saying, so I'm gonna have to listen to this again, because that was so awesome what you just said. So I appreciate that as a Black woman. And the only thing I want to add to it is I'm glad that you all picked for the topic the second part of Black History Part Two. But I say, I say every day is Black History 365. So we need to do part three, part four, all the way to part 12. because every single day is Black History.
Yeah.
But
But
I'm saying I am.
we set some time aside to recognize what we do all year,
Absolutely.
because the system does not like what system making happen. Just said the day to day struggle most people don't deal with. I mean, it's one thing, just you know. So the uniqueness, as Machinda was saying, of certain activities that we go through. So you're right. Black history is every minute, every second that we're alive is a blessing. But at the same time, we need to set some time aside to study ourselves, refurbish our education so we can teach others. But go ahead, Linda. You was rolling. I didn't mean to stop you. Go ahead.
No. I was just agreeing with everything that has been said, and I'm loving this.
Good. Rasha Key?
If I may, can I say something else?
Yes, go ahead.
You know, when we're talking about role models, and you mentioned multi-geniuses, it just came to me that movie that they did with the sister with the going to Mars and what she did with NASA, and how powerful that whole group of women was, what they portrayed in the movie. And you know,
Hidden Figures, was that the name?
Hidden
of the
Figures, yes, sir. And you know, TV and Hollywood always putting a spin on something and not really telling the whole truth a lot of the time. So to know that they were able to let out that little bit, I just imagine how much more was really done, that those women really contributed to space exploration, to just mathematics, to the technology that we have today. And it just makes me proud to know that that's in our community. And I think about the young women who were at the Compton Airport dealing with the young aviators, putting it together. You know, we have a lot of great talent in our community, and they just need to be uplifted and supported and encouraged as they travel and through, like I say and continue to say and tell them, the hostile environment of the education system that they're in. They need to be supported and encouraged so that they can thrive through that to get to their greater where they're trying to go.
You know, and that's beautiful what you just said, you and both, Linda, to recognize that we're in a hostile environment, meaning war environment. And I think it was Malcolm who said, everywhere Black people is, it's a battle line. And, you know, and it's good to be on the line or be on Zoom with two dynamic women that have you know, been through the ups and downs of being a Black woman and have figured out ways to teach Black women from your experiences and your achievements, the importance of them, how to see themselves. So that's a beautiful, this is what Black History Month is about. You understand, the day-to-day struggle. I mean, it's one thing to be a father and come by on birthdays, Christmas, and things of this nature. It's another thing to be there to take them to school, to listen to their problems, to take them to plays or take them to after school events so they can, you know, learn different things and to talk to them as a man about men, you know, and that's a whole new different thing rather than just come in with gifts and things of this nature. Brother Rasha Key, you want to comment?
Yes, I want to say a little bit here. I want to recognize all Black women for the psychological trauma they had to go through in the Holocaust of enslavement and today's racial system that we live in. I want to talk a little bit about my mom. She is from St. Louis. She was born and raised in St. Louis. And she had two siblings, and she was being raised by a single mom. And she, at a very early age, when her mom became ill, at a very early age, she had to, as a matter of fact, I have it highlighted on the website, my father and my mother, about the tough times they had to go through just to get through where they are today. But my father passed him last year. And mom is still around. But she had the strength to take care of a sick mom, an older brother, and her older sister. She didn't have to take care of her, but she struggled. She came out to Los Angeles. Her first husband died in a car accident, and she had to maintain her three children until she married again, and just had to bring up seven children in a pretty rough environment when we were coming up. And her children turned out, she, you know, did a great job with them, you know, college graduates and, you know, working people. And she had to take care of grandchildren. And they did pretty good. So I just want to take my hat off to mom. Then also, I want to take my hat off to my wife. She had a child at a real young age, and she had to go to work. She didn't want to, you know, go on the county, so she raised their age up to work, raised their son, raised her daughter. We got married at 30 something, and I see the tremendous strength in her and how she struggled to get to the point where she is. All of her children and our children are either college graduates, and the youngest ones are one's about to graduate, and another one just entered college. And a very, very strong, intelligent woman that had to put up with a lot coming through the years. And it's just amazing how strong these women are. And then also to even put up with men like us, you know, they had to go through the struggles with us, but they were very supportive. My wife is very supportive of what we do here on this platform. So I take my hat off to my mom and my wife and all of the ladies, Sister Making It Happen, and Sister Linda for making a great contribution to our platform to educate our people. So I just wanted to give them a shout out.
That's beautiful, brother. That is wonderful. And because it's very important. Because see, tied into this is male-female relationships. If you want to know how a community is getting along with each other, I'm talking about we as Black people getting along. You look at their relationships. Are they marrying each other? Are they supportive? Are they pulling for each other? Are they really trying to uplift each other from that standpoint? Do they have standards that certain things you don't do? I mean, I remember when, you know, you don't cuss in front of women, you don't do this, and you don't do that. But now it's all on the media. You can do what you want to do. And the women are doing what they want to do. And so it has corrupted our value system and our ethics system. And to revolutionize that, we need women like Linda and your mother is a role model to emulate, Rasha Key. That's self-determination. Self-determination is one of the principles of the Nguzo Sabo. So we really appreciate her achievements. I mean, because, you know, to come up in those urban areas and then stay ethical, stay virtual, having your virtues and having a balance of raising the children. See, when we was coming up, childcare was the oldest child taking care of the youngest children. That taught you a lot, as if you were the boy or a young girl that had to stay home while the parents worked, or when you got out of school, come home and clean up, cook, watch the other kids. I mean, that taught you leadership. It taught you, you know, how to love your brothers and sisters and care for them. And now with automation and technology, and this, you know, you lose a sense of humanity. As a system like it happened with Sam, you know, in the digital world, you know, you become digitized and you become sort of like an electronic heart and an electronic brain, you know, where people don't ask people things anymore. You get to Google it. So you lose human contact. Now they got restaurants with robots. You know, and so that's going to take away tips for people and jobs. And we have to struggle against those values that the European is pushing on us under the auspices of progress, when it's really regress in human nature and human love and respect toward each other. And that's why Mashinda, the deep Louisiana, they still hold on to a lot of the values. Some are backwards to a certain degree, sexes and things of this nature, but for the most part, they maintain that Southern hospitality and humility, that, you know, and so we deeply appreciate that. Any other commentary before we talk about next week?
Okay, can I just say one quick thing, promise?
Yeah.
When you were talking about black male and female relationships, and then the brother who came on earlier talked about the Oscars last night, there was one portion in there with Angela Bassett, my homegirl. And of course, I was watching it because I thought she was going to get the Oscar for Wakanda. And her husband was sitting right there next to her, Courtney Vance, because I kept thinking to myself, I said, I don't want to watch it, but I'm Angela. I need to watch it to support her. And I hope he's going to be there with her, because we know it's going to happen. She probably won't get the best actress. And she did not get the award. And they even commented on Good Morning America because of the way she reacted. And she should have won, but she did not. The other lady won. I forgot, the white lady won. And her husband, the reaction on his face. But Angela Bassett sat there with dignity and grace, just like she always does. And so when we were talking about Black Women's History Month, she was proud, and but you could tell this sister had going on. She was so graceful and dignified. Everybody, and she did, even though she knew she should have won, and everybody else knew she should have won, and she handled it. And that's what Black women have been doing all throughout lifetime. Always handle it with dignity and grace, and keep moving forward. And then her husband was right there beside her. Now he was he had dignity and grace also, but you can see he was like, oh no, this was not right. He said these white folks have done it again. You can see the expression on his face. But he still was, he sat right there beside his wife, and they got through the night. And it was, you know, it was, for me, it was, that's Black male and female relationships. It was just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are some people trying to make it like she frowned or something.
Oh, no, she didn't. She was very graceful. No.
Yeah. You know, and looked at her, you know, they're trying to make something out of it. But, you know, what do you expect? I mean, she won the Golden Globe. She won, you know, that's generally a precursor to the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand. I understand the challenge that we have as an African people. But
things have not changed, but she was still there. And I was so glad he was right there beside her.
But one thing, she won the NAACP award. And,
correct.
And you see, that's the difference, you know, I mean, winning awards, giving each other awards and things of this nature, and wanting white folks to recognize you as fine. But they've been cheating us out of Academy Awards for years. For years, we couldn't even be nominated. So, correct. You know, the fact that she was nominated is an achievement. But at the same time, we know that there's always, they're going to pick, people within the game. I don't even know. You know, first of all, I don't go to the movies. I don't. If I don't catch it on Netflix or something like that, it's just too much. I mean, $20 popcorn, $20. Oh no, I can't handle it. You understand? Even though you want to take your wife out, take a friend out to the movies, but oh, if you got cash and you want to flash, you're fine. But. And then with COVID, all these people sick and going in there in a crowd, that even deters me personally. But at the same time, Linda, you're so right about the dignity of Black women and the shame catching the person you're dating with somebody else and handling it with dignity. Your children, finding out your children are stealing money out your purse and handling it with dignity. Finding out that drugs is in the house and alcohol. Having to go to school because your kids are acting up. I mean, those are some challenges for single women and for mothers, period. And, you know, you raise your children not to bring issues home, you know, your team, and they're supposed to bring peace and achievement. And so you have to train them that way and coach them. You don't get scolded. You sit down and talk that we need each other and we need you to put your best foot forward. That's why I respect Rashid, because he played ball and he knew what they had to do to get him to play harder. And so he does that with his daughters, you know, he coaches them and manages in a manner in which they don't be offended. And you know, the results are going to be the results, but the point is that you try to have a humane way of disciplining them. And dealing with adversity and disappointment, because it breaks our heart when our children are hurt and, you know, they don't listen to you. And you know, like people say, oh man, you know, you old fashioned. You know, we young, you know, I'm 25. I say, yeah, brother, I've been 25. I'm 75. So I've been 25 three times, you know, in comparison to you. And that's why I can talk to you. That's why Sister Make It Happen and could talk to them young people, because she was a teenager. You know what I'm saying? She was where they were. And that's why you've been handling the issues you handle. You got experience. You got training. And y'all doing an excellent job. Rasha Key, next week? Or Wednesday?
Let me share it with you. So here we go. We got Dr. Charles Alexander coming on. Black History Month, a view from the bridge. So we continue with Black History Month. And Professor Ra is going to host because I have a previous engagement. So Professor Ra will be a host on Wednesday.
Dr. Alexander, he's been on the show before. He's a psychologist out of Chicago. In-depth, brother, conscious. Aware of what everything around me, part of the Association of Black Psychologists, and at the same time, you know, they just had a struggle in Chicago with Mayor Lightfoot, and you know, and she did not even make the primary to run for office again, and so she lost. She got the black vote, but the white suburbs and other people voted her out. They got two black men running for the mayor. One's a conservative and one's out of the teachers union. So we got to watch that election and see what happens. Bro. Go ahead, Rasha Key.
Right. Well, we're going to take our pause then, right?
Yeah.
All right. So each one teach one in Conscious Corner.
All right, then, bro. See y'all Wednesday.
Have a good one.
Peace and blessings.
Good night, everyone. Have a good week.
All right.